423 years ago, in the town of Unna in Westphalia, Germany, a pastor sat in his study that overlooked the cemetery. Earlier that day, he'd been busy conducting funerals for his parishioners. 30 of them in that day alone. And that's how it had been for weeks on end. That July, there had been 300 deaths due to the plague. And in August, 170 more. The pastor was exhausted, but he had to write. He said he wanted, quote, to leave behind me, if God should call me from this world, as a token of my peaceful, joyful Christian departure, or if God should spare me in health to comfort other sufferers whom he should also visit with the pestilence. He wrote as a token of his faith and as a comfort to others. So he sat in his study, looking at all the fresh mounds of earth in the cemetery, and he wrote this hymn. The words came to him along with the melody. Wake, awake, for night is flying. The watchmen on the heights are crying. Awake, Jerusalem, at last. Midnight hears the welcome voices, and at the thrilling cry rejoices. Come forth, you maidens, night is past. The bridegroom comes, awake. Your lamps with gladness take. Alleluia. Rise and prepare the feast to share. Go meet the bridegroom who draws near. The pastor was Philip Nicolai, and his hymn, of course, was the great Wachet auf. Wake, awake, became known as the King of Chorales. Nicolai survived the plague, and his hymn indeed provided comfort to generations of worshipers. Today we begin our observation of an extended 7-week Advent, the season for which Wake, Awake has become a kind of anthem. It is so, I think, because the hymn, the words, and the melody both work together to express so perfectly the themes and the moods of this season. Waiting, watching, hope in the midst of suffering, joy in spite of the darkness, confidence in God's ultimate mercy. Advent invites us to acknowledge the suffering, the confusion, the sorrow, and the fear that pervade our lives and the world, and not to look away. Not to look away because Advent faith is confident of seeing God's justice, God's healing, God's mercy, and God's love quietly rising up precisely there in the midst of our darkness. And couldn't we use a little bit of Advent right now? For just as it did in Nicolai's time, a plague once again rages in our world. As of today, in Alberta, there are 6,230 active cases of COVID-19, with the number of new cases being reported constantly rising. 164 people are currently hospitalized. 30 of those are currently in ICU. 343 have died of the virus. And it looks like there will be many more to come in the coming months of winter. Containment measures have included physical distancing, masks in public, quarantines of possibly affected and vulnerable people, and a full shutdown of public life that we've begun slowly over the past months to open up, but now signs are maybe those more restrictive measures are coming back. There's so much fear and uncertainty in the world today. We all feel the stress of it. Our lifestyles and our lives have been drastically disrupted. Our lives have been turned upside down. Don't we long for the world to be right again? Don't we hope for a future of peace among and within nations? Don't we dream of a life of well-being again for ourselves and for the ones we love? It seems like we are in Advent now, whether we want to be or not. Advent is here. So let's acknowledge it in church. And if we are in a season of Advent, let's be in it all the way, I say. Let's be in Advent all the way, which means not only facing the darkness of our world and our lives, but also remembering the hope, the joy, and the faith of this season. Let's look for what God is bringing to birth in our lives. Fruits of compassion and wisdom and peace. Let's wait with confident expectation of the bridegroom's coming at last. Let's prepare for that act, that arrival, by setting our lives in order right now. Nikolai's hymn invites us to be in Advent all the way. Penned, as we said, during this period of pandemic and pain, the hymn breathes faith and hope because it is all about what God is doing. It looks beyond this world to ask and see what God is bringing in to this world. Coming forth as a bridegroom into our world of sorrow, bringing joy at last. To be in Advent all the way is to watch and to wait wisely. You know, isn't it like this sometimes with experiences of suffering? I've heard and talked with so many people who have had some acute experience of suffering in their lives. And their testimony about that is they say, I wouldn't wish that experience on anybody else, not on my worst enemy. But if I had my life to live over again, I probably wouldn't give that experience up. Because it has taught me patience, or wisdom, or self-control, or more compassion. And I value that learning. I value who I have become as a result, as a consequence of that suffering. I hope you've heard stories like that too. I hope you have had an experience like that. You look back on and you say, I grew from that. I learned more joy, more appreciation for what I have. And I hope that if you're in a time of suffering or darkness right now, that the day will come when you will look back on that, on this, and you'll say, I learned, something good came out of it. To be in Advent all the way is to have that trust and that faith and that confidence that God is going to work joy in the end. The story of the 10 bridesmaids offers us a picture of what it means to watch and wait wisely, by way of a contrast. In the story, the 5 foolish bridesmaids have failed to nurture the gifts of the Spirit in their lives. They have not practiced compassion, generosity, patience, gratitude, or kindness. They haven't been faithful or diligent about practicing the faith. They've not replenished the oil of love that gives light to their lives. And instead, they've spent their time acting out of fear or sloth or self-pity and the like. And when at the last minute they demand that others share their oil, they are refused. Not because the other bridesmaids were mean or selfish, I think, but because the oil cannot be shared. Nobody can be generous for you. Nobody can love instead of you. Nobody can act kindly on your behalf. It has to come from within or not at all. So when the King of Love finally comes to start the feast, can it be a surprise that he says, "I never knew you"? I think he says it with a kind of sadness, not a stern anger. He doesn't say, "I never knew you." "I never knew you. I wish I did. I wish so much that I had seen that love and that kindness in you." So the story of this 10 bridesmaids is a tale of warning to us, with a simple punchline that appears at the end. "Keep awake, therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour." You know that you're in darkness right now. You know that you can keep your oil ready, but you don't know the day or the hour when the fulfillment of joy and love will happen in your world. Keep awake, be prepared. God is inviting you into joy beyond measure, into life eternal, a wedding feast that will have no end. But watch out, because you could miss it. You could be too preoccupied with yourself. Your attention might be too dissipated into trivial concerns. Your heart could be too hardened to open to the other. Your soul could be closed in by fear. So keep awake, Jesus says. Nurture the light of love in your life. Maintain it with the oil of patience, gratitude, and hope. Grow these things in your heart and cultivate them daily, for the reward is great. I think this time of COVID-19, our enforced season of Advent, is an opportunity for us to practice wisdom by waiting, keeping awake, being ready for the bridegroom when he comes. It's a time to remember that out of our sorrow can and will come joy. Out of our suffering, faith. Out of our darkness, light. The feast is not here yet, but it is coming. Praise be to God. Amen.